want to tell you about today's sponsor, Alpha Progression, the go-to app for anyone training to maximize muscle gain. They are the top-rated fitness app in Germany and have recently expanded their reach to users worldwide. The app is perfect for both novice and senior weightlifters, something that was really helpful when I used it. All plans are generated perfectly to the user's needs, which include an algorithm that guarantees long-term success, ensuring the effort you put in will be rewarded. My code, TWFP20, gets you 20% off your first payment. Again, that is TWSP20. Head to alphaprogression.com/TWSP20 now to take advantage of this incredible offer. And welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LDG. In today's episode, we will be having the third part of this incredible series reviewing the NWSL Summer Transfer Window. As the league continues expanding with international talent, I want to continue highlighting every single move of this window, which is what this series has been able to provide. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. I wanted to start with a big transfer for the league. Speaking about a player who's really been monumental in the foundations of the league, it's Carson Pickett. The first ever player to appear for the US Women's National Team with a limb difference was traded to Orlando Pride. She's one of the best fullbacks in attacking areas in the NWSL, hands down, which is why she got that call up initially to the side. And it makes sense for that the Pride would take the opportunity to bring her back to her home state, even though they have a lot of great fullback talent with Kylie Strom and Carrie Bello. It will add more depth and competition to that area of the field. We've talked a lot about of teams that have won the title in previous years. You need that competition in depth, that inherent competition that players have spoken about and coaches have spoken about in my previous interviews. It's needed for an environment to be successful, and even the players that are at the top of pecking order, having that competition is great. And so for Pickett, I would presume that she'll get into the starting 11 some way, somehow, even if that means it's Strom or Abella will have to get benched. They may just rotate the two of them, as again, the Pride have a lot of games going into the end of the season, and considering that they'll be in the title push, they're in the pole position right now, but that depth will be instrumental for them. Pickett is far too good to not be on a title contending team. We speak a lot about the depth in the NWSL and the parity with some of these recent moves that may be broken for better or worse. And for someone like Pickett, again, the NWSL is a league where there's a lot of amazing players in the bottom teams, but even though that does exist, those players don't want to stay there. These are their competitors. They want to win games. And for someone like Carson, she'll benefit from this move as she'll be on a team that's in the title push. She's never gotten that chance to really be a part of that. So that'll be great for her. And as again, the storyline that we'll be on the lookout for at the Women's Soccer Podcast is how Seb Hines balances having both Abello and Pickett on this roster, being two of the best attacking left-sided fullbacks in the league, both on the same team. Moving on to one of the moves that the Kansas City Current made during this window, it was bringing in reinforcements from the Turkish League, actually, in Jericho. The Current need cover in the midfield, with Hutton being at the U20 World Cup currently, and even though Jericho wouldn't occupy that sixth role, we've seen this in the recent games that Labonte has been able to drop into a deeper position with Jericho providing cover, even if not from starting roles, but just on the bench as a 10. The Current have struggled since the return of the NWSL league season, but nevertheless, they've been integrating lots of new pieces. Some would argue that they actually were a little too ambitious in the summer window, considering how good their squad was. It was confusing why they tried to make so many changes, and that may have messed with the team chemistry, but Jericho is an incredible player who I'm sure the side will be really proud of bringing in, because she is not just the first only Kenyan player who's ever played in the NWSL, but she also scored 23 goals in Turkey last season with a side that has players like Temwa Chavinga. Adding any more talent to this roster, it would be incredible for the team. And we've seen Jericho's impact. Her explosivity, yes, is incredible. Her soccer IQ and technical ability are second to none. Whenever she's on the ball, she has such an X factor that makes her eyes light up. And I think the NWSL has been missing a lot more of those explosive dribblers. We talked in a previous episode, actually episode one of the series, which you should definitely check out, about Mondesir. Narola came to the Seattle Reign, and she's provided a big impact on the team. Even though she hasn't gotten her goal scoring form yet up to par, her amazing dribbling techniques has made her so fun to watch. That's been a joy at the NWSL. Having this more international landscape of the league has allowed for more different playing styles to shine, which as a fan is more interesting. So for the Current, bringing in another creator is going to be great for them as they continue their push towards the postseason and hopefully can work their way back up at the table. Next, I want to talk about Jalen Howell, who moved to the Seattle Reign in a trade with Bethany Balser. We'll talk about Balser right after this, but focusing on Howell first. This move may have seemed confusing in general, just because of the fact that both players were seemingly engraved in the DNA of their respective teams, but it is understandable why the Reign would want to bring in Howell after watching a few matches. We know that Quinn is an incredible defensive midfielder. They have such good awareness of the game, high soccer IQ, but bringing in a player like Howell is a one-of-a-kind talent. She exceeds the traditional role that a six tends to play in a side. An agile, physical player who is incredibly proficient at bringing the ball up the pitch, even scoring from outside the box, which was seen in her debut of the Reign after almost scoring against North Carolina. Howell will and has shined so far in Laura Harvey's system, but will also allow the Reign to get the best out of other players that have struggled this season. We talk about all the time how six can be a quarterback for the offense in a lot of ways, because if you look at how someone like Hal Hirschfeld, for instance, for the Spirit, has such an impact on their attack, pinging balls out to the wingers. The Reign hasn't had someone like that. Quinn is more of a short passer. They are incredibly proficient in that area, but playing a double pivot with Quinn and Howell will be instrumental for this team, and bringing in players like Cernovorcevic and Mondesir, who will provide a new dimension to the attack. It's great that the Reign also provided reinforcements in the midfield, which is why I think that they brought in players like Mondesir and Cernovorcevic, knowing that they ultimately traded Balser away, who's the top goal scorer, which we'll get to in a minute again. But I think for Howell, just having a leader, she was a captain in Louisville, it's a big change for her. Surprising to see two leaders, one being a captain, get just shipped away so seamlessly, it seemed, but I think for Howell, it's a better move for her career. She needs to get back into the USA frame, just like Balser does, and this can be the move that gets her there. Moving on to Balser, Balser's a player who has mentioned in various conferences that she thought a move was in the works last offseason, but I guess it just never went through and she thought it was over with. This was a surprise for her, too. She had, I guess, requested this move, and it's seemingly understandable why. She scored 5-plus goals in every single season that she's played in the league, which is incredible and impressive. And her offense just is so impeccable, but the teams that she's been playing on, at least recently in the last few seasons, have always struggled. The Reign obviously made the final last season, but for Balser, now in the midst of the rebuild the Reign are undergoing, she doesn't want to be the person who's just stuck on a sinking ship. She wants to also advance her career, obviously, and as she hasn't been on the USA team in a while, maybe that'll be a goal of hers to, if she gets her club form back up to par, that could be a place that she can get back into. But she feels like she needed a change, and she's getting that with Louisville. Louisville's missed a dynamic attacker, kind of target nine. Reagan Turner was that, but I guess for some reason Bevinez didn't play her. That's still something that's really confusing to me. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Balser is a great talent for them to bring in, someone with NWSL experience, which seems to be the kind of message that Louisville was trying to provide the fans for this window, and their win-now mentality will be helped by Balser's ability to just get the ball in the back of the net. And though she hasn't cracked that door yet, she got an amazing assist in one of her first matches, and I can't wait to see her continue providing more offensive star power to the Racing side. We mentioned earlier that Louisville lost Carson Pickett, but they did add defensive reinforcements. Alexa Barr, who plays on Louisville, probably played a big part in recruiting her Colombian national team teammate, Angela Barone, to Louisville. Because of the fact that they lost Pickett, it made sense that they need to add more fullback depth. Barone can play on the outer side of the back line, so in that fullback role, but also in the center back role. So that versatility will be key for a Louisville side that just lacked a lot of versatility in the back line. It's been very consistent what they've done, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but I think that adding more different options can provide that competition we've spoken so highly of throughout this episode. Adding young talent is never something that should be frowned upon, especially one that has a lot of international experience like Barone does, and the Colombian connection is becoming more clear of Barr and Barone, and after they've performed well internationally as a country and those two specifically at the youth level, it's been great to see that NWSL tap into these markets like the South American players that have thrived in the NWSL in the past. They've been adding more to the league, and I think the rise of women's international soccer can give more talent pools that NWSL can look into, and this is just another example of one. The Louisville backline has a lot of veteran leadership with players like Erceg and right, who Barone can learn from. And that will be a great thing for Barone to get. After playing in Colombia, she was one of the top players of her side. But now coming into the NWSL, she can be a big part of Loyola's future plans and develop now as a player by learning from some other teammates that have had incredible careers internationally, but also in this league, that know how to succeed here and can help Barone do so. Next is Hilda Magaya, who was loaned to the Kansas City Current. Loan-to-buy deals are not very common in NWSL. They're quite scarce, to be frank. But they have worked in the past in certain cases, like Mernaca's loan to the Courage, which eventually they triggered the buy option, the club. So that's great to see for them. And that proves to me that Magaya can use this loan. I think her performance is clearly shown that she's needed it. She's really struggled to find her top form since joining the Liga MX Femenil side. So this move could be a chance at rekindling the explosive attacking skills that landed her on the South African World Cup squad. Though her club stats don't seem too impressive, she averages 0.7 goals internationally, which is insane. She scored 20-plus goals with the team. After Spantras was traded and Bia's still working her way back for injury, Magaya could fill in and be used as a spark of energy off the bench and just grow as a player. I think for her, it'll be a good opportunity to get out of that market in Mexico where she was really struggling and get into a new side where hopefully she can get back on the score sheet more frequently of club and find that talent before she gets dropped from the club side and really emphasize why she performs so well on the world stage and bring it at a more frequent weekly basis at club level. Talked about one of the blockbuster moves that Louisville made in that big Balser and Hamill trade, but another one that they made that I think went a little bit too under the radar for me was not one of my favorite moves to the Louisville side. They brought in Janine Becky, who's an amazing player, don't get me wrong, but they traded away one of the best young prospects in the league in the 9 role in Raylan Turner. So I think that this move is very interesting to me just because of the fact that Louisville were building such a great young core that was thriving. Raylan, in my eyes, was a big part of that. They had such a good front line. The partnership of Emma Sears and Turner was just continuing to grow. And after she got benched, it makes sense that Turner would want to go back to the West Coast. It sounds like this move was requested from Turner, which is always great to see that player requests are being accommodated. But it's interesting to me that Louisville went with this win now approach that they've, you know, spoken highly of and really emphasized. Both Ryan Dell, their GM, and Bevian as the head coach have talked about that, which is interesting to me because I think that their squad has so many young players and I wish that they could just like focus in the long haul. But their midfield's great. They have players like Borges, DeMello, and Flint that is one of the best trios, which makes sense why they would want to focus on the front line. And I get the trade with the ball bringing in Balser, but this trade's confusing to me because of the fact they gave up Turner. Nevertheless, though, as I talked about, Becky's very talented. She's a gold medalist, so what better experience to have on the international stage than that? She's dozens of caps of the Canadian team, and her passing stats aren't great, which is my biggest problem with her game, but she's a very dynamic dribbler who creates lots of chances, which explains her high assisting rate, even though her passing's not good, which in my eyes is really great for Louisville because they need more direct players who are just willing to get in the box and create chances. So that's going to be good for them. Additionally, Becky is in the 80th percentile for non-penalty XG for wingers, demonstrating the threat that she poses on the wing for getting in on goal, which is a great thing for Louisville, again, to have more dynamic wingers that are better at cutting inside and getting the shots on frame that they need to keep producing in order to get more balls in the back of the net. Becky didn't receive the minutes worthy of her quality in the Rose City, so this move could be the benefit for Janine if she's able to receive more consistent time with the team and stay healthy. Additionally, the threat that she poses and her leadership will be beneficial to Racing as they look to gain their first ever playoff appearance, something that is very important to both the organization but also the players, to have spoken about how they believe that their roster is incredibly talented but just hasn't gotten clicking yet. And I wonder if these moves by bringing in players like Becky and Balser are what it's going to take for the side to get into the postseason. Moving on to looking at this trade from Portland's point of view, in my eyes, this move was a no-brainer for them. And though we'll have to wait to see how this plays out on the pitch, I think that at first glance, they won this trade. Raylan is just a rookie, and her XG goals and assists per 90 minutes are all higher than Janine's. Yes, she's a goal scoring striker, number nine, target nine, traditional nine. Very similar game quality to Bolser, which is why I do get moving on from Turner by bringing in Bolser. But considering Turner is younger than Bolser and still produces at a high level in the minimal minutes that Louisville gave her, I just wish that they gave her more of a chance and maybe could have made a different move without having to sacrifice one of their best young players. Raylan definitely needs to hone various parts of her game, continue working on the weaknesses that have become more clear at the pro level than they were when looking at her as a prospect in college. But overall, a target nine has been needed for the Thorns. Unlike Louisville, who just filled that role with Bolser, the Thorns have really lacked to have any multidimensional play due to the fact that Sophia Smith is who their team revolves around. They have really a bad roster when you consider the previous Thorns teams that have existed, and Smith is just kind of carrying them at this point with Hina and Sam Coffey playing a big role. The rest of the team has really struggled. I want to give Nicole Planer flowers. She's been good too, and there's been other players that have stepped up, but nevertheless, I think that they've needed another goal scorer besides Smith. Their attack has been one-dimensional, and for defenses that have any quality, they can just double-team Smith and take her out of the game, because when you double-team any player, they're out of the game. And that has been the case for Portland, even when Smith wasn't on the pitch against Gotham in a recent match, and Coffey wasn't on the pitch either, which is why a lot of people blamed the Portland's Prentice's performance on. But at the end of the day, Gotham didn't have many Olympians either, and we still completely destroyed Portland, which shows the clear gap of quality between the two sides. Not even being gut biased as a golf advantage, just the fact of the matter is that they've needed this role on the side where they can have more depth, and Turner is a great player to fill that role for the team, and I can't wait to see her continue to develop in the Cascadia area. Last but definitely not least, the perfect move to end this episode on, because of how I was so sad about it, it's Macy Bell getting traded from Gotham FC to North Carolina. As a Gotham fan, Bell is one of the few defenders on the team that provided youth, and in the minimal minutes that she actually got, she was very impressive. And I think that this move obviously was clearly requested by the player, and I hope it was because of her ties with the North Carolina area at the college level. Gotham's crowded back line wouldn't have improved her playing time either, and she is such a bright future, and even though I selfishly wished it could have played out in a Gotham kit, from the player's perspective, it's clear that this is the best move. I wish Macy all the best luck on the Courageous side, but there is a lot of talent on that back line. There is just as much of a crowd wanting those minutes in North Carolina as there is in North New York, New Jersey. So I really hope that Macy can continue to hone her abilities on the ball, because they're quite good on Gotham, but she also provides that X factor in the box. Her goal against San Diego will never be forgotten, and I really think the way that she plays will really work in the Courage's system. They play such a possession style game, so for her as a player, looking at her future national team hopes, that's something Emma Hayes really admires, that quality. And even though Gotham is very good at it as well, the Courage are a little bit better in that area, I will admit. So for Macy to get that chance to really develop that side of the game and hone her craft by playing with some of the top fullbacks in the world in training, like Philly Rao and Ryan Williams, who's been a great player in the NWSL this season so far, hasn't had that same international experience, but nevertheless, still a talented player. So I really hope that Macy can continue developing. She's shown such bright signs of having such a bright future, not just in the NWSL, but also internationally for the red, white, and blue. So again, hope the best for that move. I think there's not really more to say than the fact that it was player requested, most likely. So it's not something Gotham, I would have hoped, would have ever considered even holding back a player from pursuing the market that they would have wanted to play in from the beginning. And that goes back to the draft being that form of entry being eliminated from the league. So I think if Macy had come in on a year, that would have been the case. I think in North Carolina would have been the first place she would have ever gone. But again, in this draft system that we used to have, that was never the case. And now it's great that players can actually go to systems that work for them rather than just the team choosing the best player available in the draft order. They can choose the player who actually fits their team. And I think going back to what Tori Hooster said, not to stray too far off topic, but this relates to Macy, I think This new system will allow players and teams to fit more like puzzle pieces rather than teams just trying to force the pieces to fit together. They should be hopefully a much more seamless fit in most cases. And I think for Macy, she almost gets a restart. She got a taste of what it's like to play professionally in Gotham, but now she gets to go to a new market, a new franchise, and have a new beginning in her pro career. And I can't wait to see her succeed. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, and I want to thank you again because, as you may have realized, this is our first ever sponsored episode of the show. I know this is a big change, and I appreciate that you all stuck it out for the end of the episode. Considering that we had this sponsorship in the beginning of the episode, I'm really grateful to Alphabet Progression and their entire team for being so gracious to have this amazing partnership with the show, and I hope you realize that these partnerships are not just because of the hard work that we do, it's because of your support as fans. We really appreciate that fans continue to stream our episodes and listen to them because of the fact that that allows us to get the support we need from external brands to pay for the very expensive equipment that it costs to do podcasting. And I think I don't take this for granted at all, and I really appreciate from the bottom of my heart everything that the fans do to help this show continue growing. Without further ado, please share this show with all your friends, leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Instagram, the Women's Soccer Podcast, with underscores in between each word. That's all for today, but I can't wait to see you next week, and thank you so much for your support. This is your host, Liam Greco, signing off. Peace out. Bye.